Therefore, never spoil your inner intent.
Dada, how are good and bad karmas bound?
The intention of giving happiness to others binds good karma, and the intention of hurting others will bind bad karmas. It is only through intent and not through action that karmas are bound. The external actions may be good or bad. That does not bind karma. What causes bondage of karmas is the inner intent. Therefore, be aware of the inner intent and do not spoil it. The external acts are all effects. If the motive behind an action is selfish, it will bind demerit karma. Demerit karmas bring unhappiness. If there is no selfish intent, then you will bind merit karma. Merit karmas bring happiness. But nevertheless, both are karmas. The shackle of good karma is made of gold, and the shackle of bad karmas is made of iron. Both prevent liberation. Both are shackles.
Visible karma effect, subtle karma cause.
A wealthy businessman donates 50,000 rupees to a charity. His friend asks him why he did so, and the businessman tells him that he would not have donated a single penny had it not been for the pressure from the mayor. Now, what will be the fruit of this? The donation he made is the visible karma, the rewards of which he will get in this life when people praise and admire him for his generosity. But even while people praise him for his generosity, what is he charging within? The consequence of bhav karma of I would not give even a single penny, he will experience in his next life. In his next life, he will not be able to donate even a single penny. This is the subtle karma, which is the cause for the next life's effect. The donation made in this life was an effect. Now, who can understand something so subtle? On the other hand, a poor man is asked to make a contribution for the same charity, and his response is that he has only 5 rupees with him, which they can have. He further tells them that he would donate 5 lakh rupees without any hesitation if he had that kind of money. He is sincere about this. His donation of 5 rupees is the discharge of karma created in his past life. But what does he charge subtly? A karma wherein his next life he will be able to donate 5 lakh rupees when this karma comes into fruition. A person may appear to be a generous donor on the outside, making a lot of donations to religious causes, and may appear to be very active in religious activities, while on the inside he may be scheming to take money which does not rightfully belong to him. This person's visible action is an effect, and for it he will receive praise here in this life. He has created a new life of misery for himself for the causes which exist within him. Donations, charitable deeds, etc. are all visible karma, the benefits of which are reaped in this life. People believe that these visible karmas are the charge karma for the next life. In fact, it is the subtle karma happening within that are charge karmas, and these will come into fruition in the next life. If a person were to steal today, his action of stealing would be the visible karma. The fruit of this karma will be there in this lifetime. He will be disgraced and punished. All visible karmas are simply an effect, and there is no cause in that which is visible. Only subtle karma, otherwise known as inner intent, is of importance. The whole world, however, strives to change the visible karma by focusing on acts and behavior. The monks and ascetics who practice meditation and penance, etc., do so because of their effect karma. There is no cause karma in these outer acts of theirs. Their actions today is their karma effect, the fruits of which they will experience in this life when people give them credit for their penance.
Actions do not charge. Intentions do.
When these religious teachers do pratikraman, samayik, or give lectures, their conduct is their effect karma. It is the internal charging that is important. Their conduct today is all a discharge of charge from the past life. Their entire external conduct is in the form of discharge. When people say that they did meditation or gave alms, they will reap the reward of these actions in their present lifetime. But what use is this for their next life? One may be doing samayik externally, but only God knows what is going on internally. A man is doing samayik, introspective meditation, when someone calls him at the door. The wife answers the door. She is asked where the husband is. The wife tells his visitor, he has gone to the trash dumping ground. The man overhears this conversation, and upon introspection he finds that his wife is correct. Internally, he was indeed meditating, and in his meditation, he had been visiting bad places. This is the causal karma, while on the outside he is doing samayik, an effect karma. It would be acceptable to be doing samayik internally, even though externally it would not be evident.
Thus, change the inner intent.
Effect karma is when, although you try to control your anger, the anger occurs. Does this happen or not?
It happens, Dada.
The results of that anger will be there in this life. People may avoid you or slap you. You will be disgraced one way or another. To become angry is your effect karma. But it is your internal intent that is important. If, from within, you feel you had a right to be angry, this will create a new account for you to become angry again in your next life. But if your internal resolve is never to become angry, even though you do, you will not bind anything for the next life. You will have to suffer the consequences of the overt, visible effect karma of being angry in this life, but you will not be causing anything for the next life, because you have the inner intent not to become angry. If, however, you continue to think that you need to show your anger to people to keep them in line, then in your next life, you will be an angry person. Therefore, the external action is overt effect karma. But during that time, the internal intent, whatever it is cause karma. If you understand just this much, there's no binding in overt karma. That is why I have put forward this science in a different light. Until now, people were brainwashed into believing that they were binding karmas because of their overt karma. That is why people have been wandering endlessly.
Living while liberated.
People believe that married people cannot attain liberation. You must understand that being married is not an obstacle to liberation, but your subtle cause karmas are. Your effect karmas do not interfere. That is why I have disclosed all this to you. Had I not made this science available to you, you would be suffering forever. You would be in a perpetual state of confusion and anxiety. The monks say that they will attain moksha or liberation. Yet, how will they get liberation when they do not really know what they must sacrifice? They have merely renounced their visible attachments, that which can be seen or heard. For this, they will reap benefits in this life. This, however, is akram vignan, a new kind of science. It has made it very simple for many people to attain liberation. Is it possible to attain liberation by abandoning one's wife? How can you attain liberation if you hurt anyone? So, take care of all your responsibilities towards your wife and children, and realize that it is all your effect karma. But make sure that in this effect, you hold no opinions that will lead you to charge karma for the next life. I have given you these five agnyas for that very reason. Guard yourself against being of the opinion that whatever you are experiencing or doing is correct. No such opinion should be there. That is all that is required. The rest will happen naturally.
Guide children in this manner.
Parents become indignant if their child does something wrong. They go around telling others that their child is a misfit or that he is a thief. Why must they do this? Why not simply forget? Whatever is done is done. Instead, why not change the child's internal bhav? Parents today are not worthy of their parenthood. They are not certified to be parents, and so They do not know how to go about changing their children's bhav. If a child develops a habit of stealing, the parents will keep tormenting and punishing him. Needless to say, this excessive reaction on the part of the parents does not help. So what does the child do? He decides to ignore them and rebel even more by stealing more. You have to change their bhav. Talk to them affectionately. Hold them, hug them, and make them understand with gentle words and make them see the recklessness of their actions. Ask them how they would feel if someone stole from them. Would it not hurt them if someone stole their money? Explain to them that in the same way they hurt the person they steal from. Eventually, the children will heed you and come to realize that they have done wrong. Children become more stubborn and agitated if they are punished over and over again. All that is required is a change in the manner you deal with your children. The fact is that no one has understood cause karma, which is why everybody suffers.